The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus walked about in the temple area of the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we finish 3 days of pondering how we're to relate to the risen Jesus, not just under the image, but under the reality of his being our good shepherd. And the way we're supposed to relate to him is as his good sheep. And today, in this third part of the Good Shepherd Discourse, Jesus rattles off 6 qualities that are involved in this relationship between the good shepherd and the good sheep. The first is we grow in faith precisely by being a good sheep. He said to those who were challenging him, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Faith is first a gift. We need a little bit of it in order to follow Jesus. But we grow in faith precisely by following. We can't wait on the sidelines until we know and believe everything. So much we grow in the doing. There's an old Latin aphorism, salva ambulando, that one is saved as you're walking. You're not going to be saved staying still. Second criterion, Jesus says, is my sheep hear my voice. It's very important for us today to examine, are we attuned to Jesus' frequency? How can we hear his voice when there are so many other competing voices for our attention? Do we attune ourselves to his voice by hungering to listen to him in sacred scripture? Do we attune to his voice in prayer? Do we attune to his voice thanks to the gift of the magisterium? Do we attune to his voice by calibrating our hearing based on the saints? I know them, Jesus says. And this know is a biblical knowledge. It's a personal knowledge. It's the deepest friendship imaginable. That's the type of mutual knowledge Jesus wants to have with us. Tells a parable of a wedding banquet in which people were left outside and they were banging on the door saying, "Let us in." Jesus came to the door and said, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." Jesus came to make himself our greatest friend of all, but as we know from human friendship, that's a two-way street. Are we as loyal to the Lord as he is to us? Do we value his friendship more than any other friendship? You know, it always hurts me on days like Easter and Christmas when after people come to confession, I'm happy they're coming to confession, but when they say, "I wasn't able to go to Mass on Easter because I was caring for family members or friends." It's good to care for family members and friends, but Jesus has got to come first. He knows us and we know him. Fourth criterion, they follow me. Jesus is constantly saying, not stay where you are, don't change, you're exactly as I want you. Every day with a scarred right hand, he's saying, get up from where you are and come follow me to where I want you at the end of the day. Do we really follow the Lord? Do we pick and choose his teachings that we want to follow? And even though he says we have to forgive 70 times 7 times, do we hold a grudge? He tells us that we have to turn the other cheek. Instead, do we hit the person back? Fifth, I give them eternal life. and they shall never perish. Now, it would make no sense whatsoever if all that Jesus meant by this is, I'll give them eternal life later. Because, of course, if that's all that he meant, then they would never perish because somebody in heaven would never die again. What he means is, he gives us an eternal life now. Later on in St. John's Gospel, he'll say, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus gives us eternal life now. He raises us from the dead in that intimate personal relationship with him, but we've got to seize it. To the extent that we're not living by Jesus Christ, we're walking cadavers. To the extent that his life isn't the sap flowing within us, we're already dead. And then I think most beautifully of all, he says, no one can take them out of my hand, just like no one can take them from the Father's hand. Jesus, the Good Shepherd's hand is so strong. Not all the thieves and marauders in the world can remove us from his hand. No wolf can rip us out of Jesus' firm hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither anguish nor distress nor the sword. The only thing that can get us out of Jesus' hand is our own free, and I might say, stupid choice to sin. To turn our back on what the Lord has taught. Instead of following him, going in another direction. Instead of listening to him, listening to a worldly guru. Instead of really acting as his sheep, following something else, saying I'm a Democrat more than I'm a Catholic, I'm a Republican more than I'm a Catholic, I'm a New Yorker more than I'm a Catholic, I'm a French Canadian more than I'm a Catholic. Jesus' powerful hand, and he wants us there forever, experiencing all that he died to give us. This gift of eternal life that the Good Shepherd gives is something that he wants us always to abide in. Today we have four examples of those who were the Lord's good sheep who did it. First are Paul and Barnabas from the first reading. Paul, after his conversion, knew Jesus Christ. And he got to know him so much that he was able to say, it's no longer even I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And for me to live is Christ. And he spent his whole life after his conversion crisscrossing the ancient world to add people to the Good Shepherd's hand. St. Barnabas was always attuned to the Good Shepherd's voice. And even when the church didn't want to accept Paul's conversion, he himself intervened for him on three different occasions like we see today. And he went to Tarsus and got Paul away from his tent-making business, said, I need your help. And they came to Antioch and they catechized together. As we'll see tomorrow, the Holy Spirit's going to set them aside to do that same gathering into the Good Shepherd's hand throughout the ancient world. Today, St. Gianni Barettamola, the patron saint of the pro-life movement, who died in childbirth 53 years ago today because she wouldn't abort her baby, even if it would cost her own life. And when she was going under the anesthesia to try to do a surgery to repair some sutures inside, she didn't know if she'd be giving birth to a boy or a girl, but said, if there's any question, save him, save my baby. And little Giannina, her daughter, was born, but there was a septic shock that she experienced and she died on Good Friday, a few days later. But the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And the good mother and the good father, following the Good Shepherd, loves a child even more than we value our own life. She shows us how to be a good sheep. The last saint we mark today is Saint Louis Marie Grignion de Montfort, one of the greatest Mariologists, the greatest lovers and teachers of Mary who have ever existed. He said, in order to learn how to be a good sheep, to hear the Good Shepherd's voice and follow, we need to imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he was right. Today, as we come forward to meet the Good Shepherd, we place ourselves anew in his powerful hand. We ask him through the intercession of St. Paul, St. Barnabas, St. Gianna, and St. Louis Marie Grignion de Montfort to give us the faith to always remain in his hand, so we will experience in this world and forever the eternal life the Good Shepherd died to give us. Praise be Jesus Christ.